be Bethlehem, he said something like this, either Bethlehem or Walmart, because they have everything at Walmart. And I thought about that because I was in Walmart a week or so ago, and I was waiting in a rather long line, and I saw this magazine, and one of the articles was entitled Christmas Without Diana. And I began to think about that. I didn't really think my Christmas would be impacted by the loss of Diana that much. And I don't mean that to demean her, but I as I began to think about that, I thought, you know, there are some interesting parallels and contrasts. Some things I think we can learn from what happened, the tragedy with Princess Diana this year. And I just wanted to draw your thoughts to that before we serve the Lord's Supper together. And I want to sort of couch that in the great passage in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but rather made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, when you think of the life of Diana, it was a rather short life, 36 years thereabouts. The life of Jesus was a short life, 33 years. But as you look at their lives and sort of contrast some of the things that immediately jump out at us, we realize that the life of Jesus and his death had meaning and had purpose. And people 4 months later are still trying to figure out, what was the purpose behind all of that, the death of Princess Diana? What was the meaning? Was there really anything we can draw from it? Princess Diana, I guess the reason why she was so well liked by the people of Great Britain and around the world is because she let us know something, whether it was good or bad, and it wasn't always good, obviously, about the royal family. Because the royal family, really, for all of these years, there's sort of a mystery about it. And even the Queen Elizabeth, there's a certain awe about her and sort of a cloud about her that you really don't know what's going on much in the royal family. And you remember that was a criticism that they received during those days leading up to her funeral, was that people didn't know what they were thinking. And it wasn't until Princess Diana came along that she stepped outside of the castle, outside of the comforts of Buckingham Palace, and went out amongst the people, regardless of what her motivations might have been. That's not the issue. But the fact is, she went out among the people, and therefore she was called the people's princess. And she probably found the most meaning in her life by reaching out and touching and serving others. And those are the causes that she's going to be remembered for. Now think about Jesus, that Jesus stepped outside of heaven's palace. And he did so in order that he might reveal something about the mind and the heart and the attitude of God. That's what John says about him in John chapter 1 and verse 18. That verse 14 he says, "And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, but he was full of grace and full of truth." And you follow the life of Jesus, and his life was a life of balance, perfect balance between grace on the one hand and truth on the other. And that's a balance that every Christian ought to strive for in this age. Is that we have truth in our lives, and we don't compromise the truth, but by the same token we manifest grace. We are a people of grace. We are a people who stand in grace. And we best reflect Christ when we are full of the truth and when we're full of grace. There's probably many other parallels and contrasts that we could make about their lives. But I guess the thing I would want to say tonight is the fact that though Jesus only lived 33 years, his life has impacted human history as no other life. And tonight we are here because there was a man who lived for 33 years on this planet, and he knew from the moment he was born what his purpose was. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, as Mark 10 verse 45 tells us. No one was more worthy of being served. Stop and think about it. No one was more worthy of being served than Jesus of Nazareth, and yet that's not why he came. He came to serve us and ultimately to give his life, to become obedient even to death on a Roman cross, the most cruel form of torture known in the ancient world. But he did it in order that he might be crucified for our sins. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He knew what his mission on earth was, and he knew when it was finished. And he said, Father, I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, Father, glorify your Son with the glory which I had with you before the world was ever created. And he went back to be with the Father, from whence he will one day come again at his second advent, which I, for one, believe is very, very close. Certainly closer than the day when we first believed. And certainly closer than it was a year ago this Christmas. And the question I would ask you tonight is, are you ready should the Lord Jesus come? Do you know what Christmas is all about? Do you understand the meaning of Christmas? Do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? That's why we celebrate in the way we do, and we have the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to ask the men if they'll come at this time and prepare to serve the Lord's Supper to you. And I'd like to just give a brief explanation to you what the Lord's Supper is. It was instituted by the Lord himself. And it was instituted on the night in which he was betrayed, when he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, you eat this in remembrance of me. And then likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, this cup represents a new covenant, my blood. You drink that, as often as you drink this, you are doing it in remembrance of me. And so today, 2,000 years later, we celebrate the Lord's Supper in order that we might remember his death for us, the fact that he died for us, his body was in place of our body. His blood was shed in place of our blood being shed, because no other way can man approach a holy God than by God's holiness himself. And he provided that holiness for us in his Son. And whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. And the moment we believe in him, God clothes us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we have so much to be thankful for tonight. We have been given the greatest gift that's ever been given to man. The gift is forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a personal relationship with the God who has created us. There's no greater gift than that. And that's what we celebrate tonight. If you are not a believer, I would just caution you. If you are not a believer, you know you're not a believer, then just let the elements pass right on by you. You're not going to be embarrassed by that. It'd be better for you to let them pass by than to partake. When everyone is received, you get to the end, then we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. I would encourage you, no matter where you're from, you might be from another planet, certainly from another country. We have our kids here from another country tonight. You may be here from another country, another church, another denomination. If you know Jesus Christ, we invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. We encourage you. Jesus commands you to do so. And you take this time as Philip plays softly in the background and just think about your own relationship with the Lord and give thanks. This is a time to really give thanks to him and express your gratitude. Father, may this be a meaningful time in all of our lives as we think again of the great condescension that Jesus, your Son, became a man, became a servant in order that he might serve us best in dying for our sins. And I pray that these moments as we personally interact with you would be very meaningful moments as we partake of the bread and the cup. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.